Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we had a rate increase recently, and people might be thinking about tightening their belts. And that might mean that you might not be able to spend too much money on a dash cam. You might be thinking, I always wanted a dash cam, but I can't be spending the big bucks, Jeff. Well, have you been to the Navman website? Have you seen the huge range that Navman do sell when it comes to dash cams? I'm looking at one at the moment. The MyView 150, it's $169. That is so cheap that you could be collecting pennies on the drive to work and afford it. Now, one thing that I will say, I actually went into the office today. I drove to the office on a rainy day. I drove home, still raining, very dark. And one thing I learned very quickly is, wow, was it good to have the dash cam. I didn't have a car accident, but the cars in front of me did. Bumper to bumper thing, little three car bump, 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 all into each other. If you had a dash cam, you would have been able to record what happened. How did that happen? Did the car at the very front brake unnecessarily? Did the car behind them exceed the speed limit and not pay attention to the road and not brake in time, hence causing that collision? Or did the car at the very back just miss something entirely and bump into all three of them? This is what a dash cam can do. And if I had one running and I was involved in that accident, I would have produced that evidence right there on the spot. Now, with the MyView 150, you're still going to get a 1080p recording, still going to get that high quality video, still going to get GPS tagging, the whole wide angle lens, it's all there. Even a G sensor is built in as well, so you can measure even impact. Now, I have compared these even to the ones you see at the cheaper stores. I've compared the very cheap models. They're very, very cheap models. And yes, they look appealing on paper. But trust me, when you start to look at footage, yes, you might know that there was a white car in front of you, but you won't know what make, model, or the number plate. And that's the difference between poor quality dash cams and ones that I trust, like the ones from Navman. Head to navman.com.au to find out all the information about your next dash cam for the car.
Rasembras ma Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello everybody, thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever it is that you are listening to this show, thank you for joining and spending some time to be educated on the latest in technology. Now, it is a news week, and who would have thought that this week was going to be so big? We have a major announcement from Sony, a major announcement from Sonos, and the big announcement of the year from Google. New Pixel Buds, new phone, new watch. Who would have thought that was coming? And even a tablet in the works as well. We're going to run you through all of these new products, effectively helping you build a mid-year spending spree if you're looking to have one. There is a lot going on. Now today, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I went into the office, missed out my afternoon coffee, and there was no way I was going to do this podcast without a little bit of caffeine. I'm doing it different today, having an energy gummy. I don't know if you guys have tried these before, energy gummies with caffeine in them. They're actually meant to be taken pre-workout or something like that. I'm not a workout kind of guy, especially at the time that I'm recording. There's 75 milligrams of caffeine in this packet of gummies. They're quite delicious. It just tastes like a bunch of jelly babies. Probably not the flavors I'd normally go for. It's pretty much just orange flavor. But hey, it's going to get me through the show, and it's going to hopefully make sure that you get a good podcast. Now, first and foremost, let's get straight into the biggest announcement. Well, one of the biggest announcements of the three brands we'll talk about today, Sony. The reason this show is dropping at 2 a.m. on Friday morning is because of this embargo. Sony have announced the latest version of their over-ear headphones. I'll give you the model number, WH-1000XM5s. Generally, you'll just call them the XM5s going forward. Now, I have the XM4s. And they are one of the best pairs of headphones for over-ear on the planet. There's just no other way to polish that up. They're one of the best. And I've tested, I want to say all of them, but if it's around that $600 price mark, I've tested it. Now, Bowers & Wilkins, Bang & Olufsen, Sony, Sennheiser, Bose, you name it. I've tested them all in this price bracket. So this is the new version that's really going to start to take on the rest of the next models that do come from those brands, and it's exciting. So the XM5s look a whole lot different to the XM4s. They have a more thinner peg going around the top of the head now. The design has been changed. They come in a black and a silver. But the biggest changes here, let's talk about battery life straight up. With noise cancelling on, 30 hours. That's a big upgrade than what it was before. 40 hours if noise cancellation is turned off. The biggest things that they're starting to promote here is a couple of things. First of all, they're saying it's eco-friendly. It's made with bamboo from China, sugarcane from Thailand, and some recycled paper. I think there's a little bit more to it than that, but that's the eco side to it, if that's something you are fascinated about. Now, there is obviously leather involved in the actual armband. That's always going to be that premium feel that Sony does offer. But we start talking about noise cancellation, and this is always one of their biggest badges that they can wear. The noise cancellation on the XM4s were fantastic. The 5s, they say, are even better. 4 microphones on each cup, a total of 8 for the maths kids out there, meaning these microphones are working super hard to listen to the ambient noise around you and block that out to your listening experience. When they do that, using this built-in processor that's inside, it means they say that you can also have an improved sound, not just because it's got a larger driver unit inside, but that noise cancellation being so much better means you don't have to turn the volume up too much to enjoy it. Supports high-res audio, even in wireless mode, meaning if you are somebody who has got high-res audio or high-res audio subscription, you can really get the most out of that music on these headphones. 360 audio included as well, or supported, I should say. But then they start talking about noise reduction mode, and that's if you're on a call. So say, for example, you're sitting on the phone, you're outside, and the wind is blowing. These extra microphones on the headphones are absorbing or hearing that kind of wind sound and removing that from what the person on the other end is hearing. That means that if you get a good pair of headphones, the person you actually talk to on the phone will thank you for it because they'll hear you better. They also have smart listening technology, which is very similar to what we've seen in other Sony headphones before, or even their earbuds, that if you're sitting still, you can have it in a different mode. If you're walking, another different mode. And if you're riding on transport, like the train or the bus, another different mode. And that can basically mean how your noise cancellation settings are held, whether you allow any ambient sound, and how high or low each of those is. And that really means that when you're on the train, you might not be able to hear the person next to you, but if there's an announcement, you'll be able to hear that. When you're actually sitting at home by yourself, full noise cancellation, the best version of the music that you can get. When you're walking, you might want a little bit of ambient sound to hear a siren or a bell ringing on a bike as it's trying to pass you. That's the kind of differences that you can have. The other thing on Sony headphones, and they've added on this as well, is called Speak to Chat. I love this feature, and I spoke about it when we reviewed the Link Buds not that long ago, which I still use and love as well. It basically means that you could be wearing your headphones, you walk up to the cafe, as soon as you start talking to the barista, your music or your podcast pauses. As soon as you stop talking and it can't hear anyone else talking to you, the music will resume. And that happens all automatically. The one thing about that, which as much as I love the feature, if you laugh during a podcast, if you hum during a song, if you do anything that kind of, whether it's involuntary or not, it assumes that you're speaking and it pauses. So I remember once I was listening to podcasts with these headphones, had a bit of a chuckle and it paused. And it's terrible when you're actually enjoying something so much that it pauses because you're like, hey, put it back on. But it's actually just thinking you're trying to talk. Now, built-in voice assistants. You'll have the choice of the Google or the Amazon voice assistants built-in, and that's kind of becoming the norm as well. You've also got this smart listening application. Again, most pairs of headphones these days and earbuds do come with a companion app. While it may just seem like a marketing gimmick, they become more and more valuable in that you can tune the sound to suit exactly as you need it. That means that you'll be able to have your kind of music listening to how you want it to sound, not how the manufacturer wants it to sound, how you want to. Equalizers, tuning those settings around when you're walking, when you're on transport, you can tweak all of that as well. Another thing that people should do. So these headphones, the XM5s, will be available in the end of June. That's why I said, I think, you know, halfway through this year, it's going to be either pre-tax spending spree or just a little bit of June madness. $650 late June this year. I'm going to hope to try and get a pair before that. If you are considering buying one, hopefully I can tell you whether they're actually any good, or maybe whether you should just go out and buy a different brand or even the previous model. That is the Sony XM5s. They are here. They are coming very, very soon. Right after this, we're going to talk about the latest soundbar from Sonos. Now, normally when I will talk about a Sonos product or a new Sonos product, I'll talk to you about it from the launch event. I was unable to go to New York this year, and I love to travel. I kind of like being home too. For me to go overseas for a product event, it needs to be something really worthwhile. If I'm leaving work, leaving home for a week, it better be worth it. I turned this trip down just on a whim, thinking that this wasn't going to be a major announcement. And maybe I was right, maybe I was wrong. You tell me whether I should have been there in person. Sonos have announced a new soundbar. Now let's just do some recollection here. Sonos have the Arc at $14.99. It's a large soundbar. They also have the Beam 2, I believe it's $699, and it's a medium size. So they've announced a small size called Sonos Ray, R-A-Y. Everybody loves Ray. And this is a $399 soundbar. So we're talking here about something that is now probably much more affordable. I think sometimes people look at Sonos as more the premium end of town, and I think they're maybe doing some different changes, trying to change their value prop and coming in at something that's very much affordable when it comes to people buying a new TV, especially if you use my logic of taking 20% of your new TV purchase price and spending it on a soundbar. This is starting to make a lot more sense. Now, available in black and white, as you'd almost expect, the Ray is quite small. It is effectively, the way I look at this, it's slightly larger than the width of a DVD player. Now, if you think about those DVD players that we used to put in our entertainment units, if you don't need that anymore, pretty good chance the Sonos Ray is going to fit perfectly in that spot on your entertainment unit. And it's actually how I've seen some of the images from Sonos represented as well, not necessarily sitting underneath the TV, but placed inside your entertainment unit to be more discreet while still giving you a better sound than you're ever going to get from your TV itself. Now, what's different about this to the Beam 2 or the Arc? Well, a number of differences to the Arc, including the price, okay? But when you compare it to the Beam 2, there is, you know, a couple hundred dollars price difference, so there needs to be something that really makes up that gap. Now, the Ray does not have HDMI eARC like you see on the other two soundbars. They're using optical. Optical is something we used to see in the Sonos Play Bar, which was their premium soundbar in the past. I haven't seen optical on a soundbar in a little while. But what it does do when you have optical in this soundbar, it means that it will work with effectively any television. Given that it's only going to be used just to play audio from your TV, it means that any TV should be able to connect to it. Most TVs have optical outputs. The Apple TV, I think it still does, have an optical audio output as well. Basically, if you connect this to your television with optical, that's it. It's working. You don't have to do anything else. Obviously, you have power into the soundbar. There's literally nothing else to do. Your TV remote will control the volume on this as well because that's controlling the output sound. And that's it. It's ready to go. Now, as I mentioned, you can use a TV remote. This doesn't come with a remote in the box. None of the Sonos soundbars do. Most other brands have their own dedicated remote, mainly because they tend to have some struggles when it's connected to other TVs. This doesn't happen with the Sonos products, and it's something I've always enjoyed. One cable connection to the TV, use the existing remote you've already got, and away it goes. Now, it still has Apple AirPlay 2. It still has Wi-Fi, meaning it can still be used as a music speaker. If you're in your lounge room, you can still have music playing from there. You could be using the Sonos app to play music or exactly as you would on an existing Sonos speaker. And Apple AirPlay 2 means that even if you don't have the Sonos app, you can always throw music to the soundbar as well. What it doesn't have is microphones. Now, the Beam and the Arc have microphones, meaning that you can use it to control it with your voice, whether that's playing music, controlling music, or adjusting the volume. You can use it with your choice of voice assistants, and this one does not have that capability. It is just a speaker. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's up to you. So you have to have a very good reason as to why you would be going for the Beam if it's beyond voice. The other thing to mention here as well is that the actual speakers in this, there is a little bit less. There's, I think, one less speaker than there is in the Beam. The size is obviously smaller, so you're probably going to get a slightly lower depth of sound. But the form factor is fascinating to me in that it fits so well into most entertainment units, or it can still be wall-mounted if you want it to, and you're saving some money along the way. If you already have a high-end soundbar, such as the Sonos Arc, and I'm literally meaning the Sonos Arc, and you're looking at getting rear speakers, you can actually use the Ray and two Rays as rear speakers. You can have them both behind you in vertical mount position, and they can be used to fulfill a Dolby Atmos experience. And this is a fascinating way that they're leveraging the speaker design of the soundbar in Ray. Ray has two speakers that sit on the corners that point normally to the left and to the right when it's in a horizontal position. When you flip it and make it vertical as rear speakers, it can now be used to upward fire and downward fire audio as well as straight out. That means you can use these as rear speakers for Atmos, and it's supported in the Sonos app. Obviously, big money to do that, but it is a feature you can add. If you're happy with just this soundbar at the front, but you still want rear speakers, you can still use Sonos Ones in the rear and use this as a surround sound, including adding on a sub. So you can do all those things. You're still not limited. Just because you've bought the cheaper soundbar doesn't mean you can't expand on it like the other Sonos systems as well. So it's a fascinating offering. I'm kind of glad that at least they're doing this so you've got the option. And it's going to be available, guess what, in June. So if you're interested in getting one, you can go and get one of these in June as well. They also made some other announcements around Roam. So the Roam is now, which is that portable Bluetooth / Wi-Fi speaker. I love it for barbecues and picnics. They've now got that available in a couple of other colors. I think it's like a green, a reddish color. They're also available. So if you want a bit more color in your life, you can do that. So Sonos Ray, available in June. After this, we're going to talk about all of the things, and there's a lot, all of the things from Google. Now, Google time. This is effectively that time of the year when Google gets up on stage, brings their developers together, gets them all rah-rah and excited about everything Google. And when you start to think about just how many things that means, it's a lot. You have Android devices, you have Chromebooks, you have all of the Google suite of applications, whether it's just Google Search, whether it's Maps, Google Drive, all of the applications within that. Google is big. Google's a pretty big company. They're doing a lot. Now, from Google themselves, there's been some hardware announcements. And I think this is what we'll cover today. There's more and more, and I wouldn't fit it into a three-hour show, to be honest. And I'm wasting time. Let's talk about the Pixel Watch. Heavily leaked, heavily rumored. Here it is. It's a real thing, and it looks just like those leaks, just like those rumors. It's a round-faced watch. It looks very spherical, if that's a word. It just looks like a pebble, looks like something like a river stone, looks like something I would pick up while I'm down by the river, all glossy and shiny, and I could put it on my wrist. It looks gorgeous. I hope it looks as good as it does in the pictures in real life. Now, this is their first smartwatch since they've also acquired Fitbit. And you can see some signs in this, and you're going to hear about it more and more. There is a 4G version of this, and there'll be a non-4G version. So straight out of the gate, it's good to know there'll be at least more than one model coming. It's going to have what they call the best of Google. So think about everything that is Google Wallet, Google Assistant, your maps, all of these things embedded into the watch and hopefully at its very best. It's one of the reasons I love the Pixel as a smartphone, because it literally is Google at their very best. Nobody else has tampered with it, and it just is exactly as you'd want it to be. The health and fitness section of the Pixel Watch is powered by Fitbit. I've always said, and if you've been listening to this podcast for long enough, you would have known, this is the most exciting part about the Fitbit acquisition. No one does health and wellness, health and fitness better than Fitbit. Their app on the actual devices as well as on your smartphone is exceptional. No one has compared to it. It is so, so good. The graphics are so detailed. The data is so enriched. And now that that's coming to this Pixel Watch, I'm very happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that Google's not trying to reinvent the wheel on this one. They're really taking in the help from the company that they spent so much money to buy. We're talking about continuous heart rate, sleep tracking, active zone minutes, tracking when you're working out, tracking your stats, your progress, everything. It's all going to be there, and it's powered by Fitbit. So it should be very similar to what you see on maybe the Fitbit Sense built in to the Pixel Watch. A great thing. I still wear a Fitbit just because I haven't found something else that's just as good at that particular task as Fitbit is. So it's good to see, especially if you pair it with what's so good about Android Wear, that could be a really good thing, a good blend that we're going to see. There's going to be a whole new Wear experience as well. So there's going to be a new version of that, a refreshed UI, different types of notifications that you're going to see it, and also how you can sort of, they're talking about different ways you can stay engaged when you're at home or at work, or if you're heading out. So different personas that you might have on the watch, and it could be just as watch faces. It could be which apps are right up front and center, what notifications you see and at what time. Those sort of things change the way you use your watch and wear your watch when you're in different scenarios. I like that. There's also going to be a lot more to this. There's going to be a different array of designs, different materials that you'll be able to get this thing in, and there'll be handy features that they talk about, like Find My Device, very similar like you would have on an Apple Watch. So very another good relationship between your watch and your smartphone. I'm very excited by this. It's the Pixel Watch, and I believe it's coming in, I want to say June. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's June. If I see differently, I'll confirm before the end of this show. But as far as I can tell, it's very, very soon. Now, Pixel Buds Pro. The current Pixel Buds have always been impressive. I've got a pair and I've enjoyed using them. They've always kind of been the AirPods alternative. I guess it was natural then that they would announce the Pro. We have the AirPods Pro, we have the AirPods, we now have Pixel Buds and Pixel Buds Pro. There we have it. Now, kind of aligned with what Apple does, how is it different? Well, Pixel Buds Pro now has active noise cancellation, just like the AirPods Pro. They come in a different range of colors, unlike the Apple AirPods Pro or Apple AirPods, but it's good to know that this will come in a range of colors. Now, the big thing here is they're talking about this super premium noise cancellation technology. They don't actually say super premium. I added that in myself, but it says premium sound. And they're talking about the fact that these can adapt to your unique ear shape rather than have a one size fits all that just sort of gets jammed in. I think that's a bit of a dig at the AirPods in some ways, but that's what they're talking about. So it's not an off the shelf noise cancellation solution. They've actually used some integrated system that's been developed by Google, custom processor, custom algorithms, even custom speakers. This is a Google product through and through. This isn't a partnership with another audio company. This is a pure Google product. And it's exciting to hear that. There's going to be a voice and sound equalizer with this as well. So again, you could tweak and customize your sound. You can start to hear this isn't necessarily a low budget product. This is something that sounds very similar to what I was even talking about features from the Sony XM5. So a very exciting thing here. And I'm excited to see how these actually do sound in the flesh. They do have a transparency mode as well. That again means that you can have awareness of what's going on around you. Again, while you're running, while you're crossing roads, while you're on the train, whatever the case may be, you can have a transparency mode. Again, start to hear the similarities here. It's crazy. Multi-point connectivity. This is coming probably as standard in most headphones these days, but it basically means that you can have your headphones connected to your computer and your smartphone. If a call comes through on your smartphone, you can be taking that. And then once you hang up, listening back to music on your PC or joining in a virtual meeting, whatever that does look like. So I do like that. And it's automatic. And it works on iOS, works on Android. These Pixel Buds Pro are not just for Google devices. It will work with Windows, Apple, and so on. They're talking about wind blocking mesh covers, a voice accelerometer, beam forming microphones to help you have crystal clear calls in windy places. It's like these guys sat down with Sony to write their briefing. It's absolutely so similar. But what they do here, and the reason this one is a bit unique, the Pixel Buds Pro use bone conduction. And again, we've heard of this in some very rare use cases before with other headphones, but using bone conduction to analyze the vibrations near your jaw that will pick up your voice so that you can be heard loud and clear. I love that idea. I love that feature. And we need to see more of that in more headphones. I think it's absolutely stunning. Now, I do hear this one will be available at $299, very similar to the AirPods Pro. I need to make sure that's actually an Australian price, not a, not a US price, because I think that's an important differentiation to make, but could be $299. Pre-orders for this will begin on July 21. And they'll be on the shelf July 28. As I read that note, I also realized that the Pixel Watch will be available in the fall, which would be our summertime. So we are yet to see an actual launch date for the Pixel Watch. I said June, I apologize. It's going to be the fall in the US, meaning summertime for us. But if you want the Buds Pro, you could get them July 28th. Coincidentally, they're announcing that or releasing that at the same time as their new smartphone. The Pixel 6a. Let's talk about the Pixel 6a. I'm a Pixel 6 Pro user. Recently set up a Pixel 6 for my wife, and we love them. We love these devices. They are performing so well. They're amazing cameras, good screens, and amazing processing power as well. The 6A is very, very similar. To make a cheaper version of the Pixel 6, what have they done? Not a lot. They haven't taken much out of this. The processor, much the same. The battery life, over 24 hours. The camera, all the same features that you expect, and all the same features, I'm sorry, that you actually have on the Pixel 6. It appears the biggest difference here is the build. The materials that are used, a little bit more plastic around the edges, a little bit more plastic around the back, but I can't see a huge amount of difference. It's kind of freaking me out. $750, very similar to the iPhone SE. I'm pretty sure it's exactly the same price as the iPhone SE too, but same processor, the same features within the camera application, such as Magic Eraser, Face Unblur, features that I love, night sight photography, all built in. I mentioned the extended battery life. It's got 128 gigs of base storage, just like the Pixel 6. It's got 6 gigs of RAM. It's got your Wi-Fi. It's got your Bluetooth. It's got the fingerprint unlock sensor in the screen. It's got the IP67 protection. It is literally just the build quality or the materials that are used on the outside that make this different. And it's astounding that that's the main difference that anyone would actually notice, is the feel of it in the hand. And there you go. That will also be available, as I said, on July 28th. And the fact that it's got 5G, it's got all of the bells and whistles that you expect, 128 gigs of storage, all of that, $750. I think they're nailing something on that. I think Google really did get the affordable phone, even though it doesn't sound affordable at $700, but it is, in effect, it is an affordable phone for many, especially when most people are considering phones over $1,000, $750. It's a cracker price point. And now the last one I want to talk about. Actually, before I do get to that one, let's talk about the smartphones again real quick. They also gave us a glimpse at the Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro. Yes, there will be a new Pixel and it will have a very similar design. But again, it looks like they've added a higher level of premium to the next iteration of the Pixel series. The design stays much the same with that ribbon across the top half of the phone where the camera array lives, but it looks like this time they're making that a gold or a silver or a metal material. Again, especially when it comes to the Pro range, increasing that level of premium on the device, but it looks like the camera sensors are also slightly different as well. No stats have been released or no specifications have been released, but when you look at the images that they did show, you can see some big differences in the actual camera array on the back. No real information about when it will be coming to market, what it actually has inside it, what its bells and whistles are, what there is to be excited about, but I'm already quite excited by it. Now, they also showed us a glimpse of their tablet, and this is great. Their tablet is coming. It's true. They've shown us a very small glimpse at what it looks like, and they already spent a lot of time talking about updates to the tablet operating system as well for Android. So perfect timing when this product does come, which I think they actually already said it was 2023, so this is not coming anytime soon, a tablet from Google. And I'm excited for that one. I'm very excited for that one. For me, it's going to be, why would I use this over an iPad or an iPad Pro? What are they going to do in this tablet that makes it so good? I've already heard about the integration between the tablet operating system and the smartphone, meaning that if you copy text on your smartphone, you can paste it on your tablet. If you want to do SMS, if you want to do your calls, you can do the same thing on your tablet. You can have this perfect, seamless experience between the two. That's good, but is that enough for me to get across the line on buying a new tablet? Maybe not. Let's see what that does come. So there's some interesting news that they just sort of told us about without a fuss. It was, yeah, there's some new phones coming. Here's what they look like. New tablet coming. Here's what it looks like. But we'll tell you more about it later. It's like Apple would never do that. That's just, it's like leaking their own images well ahead of time. Now, the last thing I want to talk about from the Google I/O event is a prototype. And there was a number of experiments that they talked about. There was different partnerships they talked about. And this one really stood out. It's AR glasses. So augmented reality glasses from Google. Google tried doing glasses once before. Didn't really go so well. It looked more like a part of the frame of a pair of glasses with a very small lens in the bottom, in the top right-hand corner. And I used them. They weren't that great.
and you wouldn't want to be seen in public wearing them. The Google AR glasses that they're using as a prototype at this stage look like a pair of reading glasses. Slightly thicker, bolder frames, but they look like a pair of reading glasses. They've got clear lenses, just like a pair of reading glasses. But what they do is not necessarily what you would think as a pair of smart glasses would. They're used for translation. So hear this story. Maybe you are of Chinese descent, okay? And maybe you were born in Australia. So you grew up speaking English. You went to school to speaking English, and your parents perhaps did not learn the language. They may have moved to Australia, didn't learn the language, and as a result, maybe as you've grown up and not practiced Mandarin and continued that Chinese tradition, you've lost that ability to really talk properly with them. What I'm basically trying to say is if you're trying to speak to someone who only speaks one language and you speak another language, how can that conversation work? Now, in the past, you can actually use your smartphone and you can get them to talk into it and use Google Translate, and that's a great feature. But these augmented reality glasses will do subtitles. So that means that if you're wearing these glasses and you're looking at somebody who is speaking Mandarin, you will get a live translation on your lenses of the words that they're saying translated into English. How cool is that? And if they were also wearing a pair, when you spoke back to them, they would get the translation in their dialect. Imagine wearing these when you're overseas. Imagine going to, I don't know, an Italian restaurant, touring around Italy, touring around Asia, wherever it is. You could be going to a different country every day, wearing these glasses, and as long as you're looking at them, and the glasses can hear them, then it's going to translate live on the spot, give you the subtitles. The only problem is that when you do talk back, it might be lost in translation unless they're also wearing a pair of these glasses. But what an amazing use of clear lenses and augmented reality. Augmented reality is usually a way of just placing a physical object, playing with it for marketing purposes or whatever the case may be, but using it to actually get subtitles to something that you're seeing or hearing is fascinating. And I think it's a really good use of the technology. I can't wait to actually see what happens with these and where they do take it. You could even imagine if you're watching TV and there's a different language appearing on the TV screen. Could it also give you the subtitles to that? I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it when there's technology that solve real world problems. This isn't just technology for the sake of technology. It's not just for fun. This is potentially solving a real problem that somebody has and fixing it. I love it. I just love it. So stay up, stay tuned for that one. There's going to be a lot more to come on that. But AR glasses, I mean, a very different use case than I probably expected and one that I'm very, very excited about. We're going to wrap up the show right there, guys. It's been big. It's been a big news week. I had a whole lineup of topics to talk to you about this week and I deleted every single one of them in one day. All of these announcements were effectively made to me on the same day. And that just dumped everything else out. Tomorrow morning on Studio 10, we're talking about winter warmers, tech gadgets for winter. I've got an electric lunchbox. I've got a cup warmer, like a coffee cup warmer, a jacket that you can use to heat yourself. It's powered by a battery. I have a vest that's also battery powered for heating. And we've got a smart indoor heater, a smart outdoor heater, a number of things that we're going to try and unpack on Studio 10. Monday, we're filming with Sunrise, so that will probably be something that would air on the Wednesday next week. Trying to be anywhere and everywhere, and it's a lot of fun. I think TV's become my enjoyable spot. I love this podcast. I love it to bits. I love the radio spots that I do. I love when I do get to write, but I am definitely investing my time when possible into those TV opportunities because I think it's just it's a lot of fun for me. We did a thing with Channel 10 this week around the iPods. I can't believe that the iPods have been discontinued, but who would have thought they were even still on sale? But they've been discontinued. 400 million units sold since 2001. Their first device held 1,000 songs. I mean, what a run. What an absolutely iconic product and something that has truly, truly transformed technology as we know it today. If it wasn't for the iPod, Apple would not be where they are today. We would not necessarily be as invested in Apple products as we certainly are today. And I can tell you, my first Apple product was an iPod. My second Apple product was an iPhone. And then it was a MacBook Pro. That journey started from a much cheaper device and it landed much more expensive devices. And that's what Apple did very, very well. We'll speak to you again next week. Have an amazing week. Look after each other, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.